Tony Nader is a medical doctor who studied at Harvard and MIT. He is an author, a speaker, and a global expert on consciousness. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you for having me, George. It's wonderful to be with you.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I was like everyone in their adolescent life, seeking to understand why we are here, what's the purpose of life, why people do what they do. And I had also a vocation for medicine, part of my family's tradition in a sense. So I thought by studying human beings from the physiological level, which means the body and its behavior, I could understand all the reasons why we do what we do, etc. It didn't lead to much, except, of course, ability to heal disease and treat people, which was wonderful. But my search was more. And so I went into psychiatry at the beginning and thinking the mind, then I can also understand from the mind level. But it was also kind of limited to disease and problems. And then I was lucky to get into research on the brain and neuroscience and cognitive science, and then also neurology at Harvard. And all of this gave me a very good, solid understanding. However, it did not answer the basic questions that I had about life and living. And particularly when I was growing up, I was in a state of, in a country where there was a civil war and people were killing each other based on belief and based on, you know, different thinking. And so it was very challenging to me to put all of this together. And so at the same time, I had learned transcendental meditation, which helped me to go deeper into myself from the consciousness level, from the mind level. So I studied then philosophy and consciousness and the mind and what is the relation between mind and body. And I came to some big conclusions that I feel are important to share with the scientific community, as well as with philosophers and thinkers. And so this is how I came to write a book and to be involved with transcendental meditation and its teaching and the teaching that the founder Maharishi Mahesh Yogi gave to the world, because I feel it's really important that we understand the value of consciousness, of awareness, as much as and much even much more than trying to understand the physiology from a physical perspective.
Thank you. What is consciousness?
Consciousness is what allows us to experience anything, to love, to think, to hope, to understand where we are in the world. Without consciousness, we have basically nothing of significance. There is a body, but if we were not conscious, like in coma or in anesthesia, what would anything mean for us? It would mean absolutely nothing. So the meaning of life, the meaning of being, importance of who we are, what we have, what we understand, what we do, is all in consciousness, happens through consciousness. So the question has arisen, where is consciousness? Is it just like a screen somehow on which life as a movie projects itself? Or is it something more fundamental? And what I have found, what I have understood, and by studying it from different angles, it's that consciousness is really primary. Consciousness is a field of being. And it is that field, in fact, that manifests as our life and the universe. So it's much more than just a way of experiencing things or the means to experience. It's actually fundamental in terms of the meaning of our existence and our lives and what we can do about it, because we can expand consciousness and we can have a better life through the development of consciousness.
Do I move in and out of consciousness throughout the day? Are some people assuming I'm not in a coma or something like that? I'm a functioning adult male. Do I move in and out of consciousness? Is that possible? Should I be in consciousness all the time?
I think we move, I feel, and that's how I also describe it in the book, that We move through different states of consciousness. We're never out of consciousness completely. So there is a state where we are alert, we're awake, we're clear. There is a state where we are self-aware, we know who we are, where we are at peace and harmony. And there can be states where we are drowsy, we are somnolent, we are sleepy, or we are dreaming, or we are kind of functioning in an automatic way, automated way, like our subconscious is guiding us and leading us, and we become almost like a robot. And there are states, of course, of deep sleep and other states where we have what I would say less consciousness, not no consciousness, because no consciousness really is only means no life, not existing. To me, consciousness is all permeating. It's everywhere. It's in everything. And there is a different level of experiencing the big field of consciousness and a different level of being conscious, different ways of being conscious. You know, you might ask, how does this work? What does it mean when I'm in anesthesia? Am I conscious? Well, I took the example of anesthesia because it's striking. However, even when I'm in anesthesia, my body is still reactive, is still digesting, sensing. If there is kind of something that hurts it, it might even respond. The heart rate can go up, the blood pressure can increase. Of course, there are different layers and levels of anesthesia. At one point, you can knock the person completely out and they don't react to anything. But still, the body itself is sensing, detecting, functioning. Of course, there is life in it. And for me, this life is one kind of consciousness, one level of consciousness.
The big field, does that have to do with my individual consciousness versus a collective consciousness?
The big field is an ocean of being, which is independent of whether we experience it or to what extent we experience it. So there is a field of consciousness that is primary, and it is that field that is being experienced by us from different perspectives, based on our nervous system, based on our previous experiences, the filters that we have, our stresses, our clarity, what we eat, what we do. All of these influence how we experience that field. And when we are clear and when we transcend, such as in transcendental meditation, we go beyond the surface level. We say that, you know, the field is like an ocean. And that ocean is infinite, unbounded. It has waves on its surface. The waves are part of the ocean, and we can get caught on the wave. We can get caught and see only the wave. And when we see only the wave, we are limited in our perspective, and we don't see who we truly are. So we are seeing only one piece of the truth, one piece of reality. Transcending means going beyond the surface level, beyond the waves, and going deeper and deeper within ourselves and actually finding that we are the ocean. And so the field is something which is who we truly are in the depths of ourselves, but we don't know it. It's covered, it's hidden by whatever limitations, stresses, strains, or whatever. A lack of development of our vision and ability to see within, to experience deeply within.
And that's a good thing, to get down below the waves, below just the surface level.
Absolutely. By going down into yourself, you are just exploring the source of creativity, the source of intelligence, the source of well-being. Because we have thoughts, and the thoughts come from somewhere, only we're aware of them on the surface level. If we go to the source of thought, which is what we call pure consciousness, a state of, we call transcendence, which means a state which is beyond specificities of any kind, that goes to that infinite field of being, we are going to the source of evolution, the source of creativity. So we do have within us an infinite source of potential and creativity hidden deep within us. And by going there, We get rid of the stresses and strains naturally. This happens by transcending because the mind settles down. And like in the ocean, when you settle down, you get to less and less activity, less and less tension. And there you have a more restfulness of the mind and body. And this deep rest allows the body and the mind to relieve stresses, which are the blocks that prevent us from experiencing our true self. And when we do that, we are then having a broad comprehension. So broader consciousness, broader comprehension, ability to see further and wider is certainly a great benefit for activity, for creativity, for ability to guide one's life in the right direction.
And is that available to everyone?
It's available to anyone who has a mind, which is anyone in general, and that can actually take a thought. And in this case, in transcending, we give a sound that has no meaning, which allows the mind to settle down, guided by its own nature, because the nature of our mind is to search for more. And every one of us is looking for more charm, more happiness, more fulfillment, more knowledge, more love, more of the good things that allow us to expand our awareness, expand our life, and feel that we are more, we are growing to be more, not just having more, which is part, could be part of being more, but the basic reality is that we want to be more, to experience more than the most, and to be that that unbounded ocean in reality. And so this is the nature of the mind to go there. That's why people always look for more. But on the outside, they look for more through their senses, more beautiful things to see, to hear, to taste, to experience. In this meditation, all we need to do is use that tendency, which is in everyone, but guide it inwards. And naturally, then the mind settles inwards and goes towards this pure level of consciousness, pure being.
That's really, really powerful. Being more versus having more. That more is something that we all desire, human beings, but because we don't know, we look outside of ourselves versus turning the lens on ourselves and going deeper.
Exactly, beautiful. Know thyself has always been a great wisdom, but people, you know, understood it as know your qualities, your limitations, you know, and all of that, so you can live within that. But that's not really the meaning. The meaning, know thyself, is go to know that you are the ocean of being, that you have the full potential of life and living and intelligence all within you. And by going there, you have the reservoir of all possibilities and creativity.
And transcendental meditation is a practice, is a, for lack of a better term, an avenue towards this or to this.
Yes, it's a simple technique, actually. It doesn't require even philosophical understanding or all that we are discussing. But of course, we need to understand what it does so that we do it. And that's the value of knowing and the knowledge. But it's a simple technique that even children do it without having to change even daily habits or, you know, belief or whatever philosophy of life. It's just something you do. Like you exercise and then your muscles strengthen and you get healthier, your body, your heart, everything improves. That's some kind of exercise for the mind, which is very natural and easy and simple. So it doesn't require any effort or concentration. People say sometimes, oh, I cannot meditate. My mind is always jumping around. This technique doesn't require to force the mind anyway. It just guides it towards something that is attractive, which is the inner self. And then the mind goes there by itself in a very, very natural and simple way. So there is a way to learn transcendental meditation. One learns it in 4 days, each day about 1.5 hours or 1 hour. And then one is on one's own, you know, 20 minutes morning and evening, start the day fresh and clear, and end the day, remove the stresses and the fatigue of the day, and have a good night's sleep.
What if I'm scared of going inside of myself?
There are things that we do, we teach. So that's why it takes at least 4 sessions. And then we encourage people to go to retreats where we discuss these points. So we discuss the point why we are scared, what can scare us, and what thoughts can come and how to deal with them. Because to be scared is a thought, it's a kind of mind attitude. The mind is saying, I don't want to go inside, what will I find? So we have a system and a teaching of how actually not to be taken by the meaning of thoughts, but just by the practice and go back to the practice. So very simple instructions, and one can overcome these kind of strong thoughts or fears of going inward. And by getting to know, even intellectually, that we have something very deeply soothing and reassuring inside, that one is guided towards overcoming such kind of thoughts or fears. We have had some amazing, experiences with people who are even prisoners or what, you know, criminals, if you like, who have committed quite some crime. And they used to think of themselves as really some bad person because they are aware that they are doing something which they shouldn't do. And then they learn transcendental meditation. And we had many experiences where they said, I couldn't believe what I discovered within myself. I didn't know that such calm and peace and harmony and even love and well-being is in me. So people have sometimes the wrong impression about themselves because somebody told them you are this, you are that, etc. Or because for some reason they have done wrong things, of course. But it doesn't mean they are that fundamentally, and they get really to discover that they are much more than that, much more deep and much more soothing. So there is something inside not to be feared, but to be cherished and to love oneself, truly love oneself, because when one knows oneself on that platform, one starts loving oneself and doesn't have any reason to fear going inside.
You mentioned earlier that part of this work was a desire, or once you engaged in the work, to share with the scientific community. How is that received as you bring this to them?
I've been working on consciousness since many, many years. And my first book was on the relationship between mind and body, the physiology and consciousness, in the 1990s, under the direction of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And there I said that consciousness is primary, that the physiology is actually intelligence, that the matter is consciousness, and highlighted that value of the importance of consciousness. There was still skepticism at that time, even though there has been philosophers in the past who said that consciousness is primary. But more and more, as we talked about it and published and lectured and all that, nowadays, actually, it's the common belief. You see lots of articles about consciousness in very serious and top-level journals that say that consciousness is primary, that the universe is conscious, that everything is conscious. That's how we can solve the problem of consciousness. So the response and the talking about consciousness has led many scientists and philosophers in that direction. And I have given a lot of podcasts and discussions and some articles about it. And it has been really well received by top leaders in the field because it unravels and exposes and explains many mysteries of also in life about being, where we are, why we are here, etc., freedom and determinism, good and bad, etc. So it is such a complete presentation about reality that many are listening and many are actually using a lot of the knowledge we are bringing out and maybe developing or explaining it or having their own angles on it.
I love it. Well, Dr. Nader, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and how can they engage? Where can they learn more about transcendental meditation?
About me, there is a site. It's called drtonynader.com, drtonynader.com. This is my website. I, you know, tell a bit the story of where I am, where I come, and what I did. For transcendental meditation, there is tm.org. TM, like Transcendental Meditation, two letters, .org. We have Maharishi International University. We have the David Lynch Foundation. And we can really learn most about me and know me in most complete ways through the book, Consciousness is All There Is. So Consciousness is All There is a book coming in August, but it's available now on all the platforms. Being published by Hay House and Penguin Random House, Penguin, who is owner of the publishing company that is publishing it. And there I explain, you know, a little bit about my story and a lot about the knowledge and the consciousness, what it is. So Consciousness is All There is a book we hope that people will like.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Tony your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to drtonynader.com. It's drtonynader.com. If you're interested in learning more about transcendental meditation, which I think that you ought to, it's tm.org. And then get your copy of Consciousness is All There Is. And it is available now. And definitely looking forward to reading that myself, Tony, and having you back on to talk about it. Thank you again.
Wonderful. Thank you for being with you. There is drnaderbooks.com also if you want to buy directly from that site, drnaderbooks.com.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful. Really very inspiring questions and right to the point. Thank you, George.
Thank you. And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.